morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, March 14th, 2019. We have 21 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we've got a small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect. That was just until early this morning, so things are going to calm down a bit. However, the overall forecast for today is for south winds, 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 until late afternoon. Wind waves from the south, 2 feet high at about 4 seconds apart, and west swells 9 feet at 13 seconds. And today we're going to be talking about the Jones Act and about a proposal to get rid of it. So this is kind of a big deal in the maritime community, maritime industry. And I want to talk a little bit about what it is. Occasionally, this comes up when we're talking about vessels here, so I can tell you how that affects the vessels you see on the Columbia and what it might mean if the Jones Act was repealed. But first, let's take a look at who's coming and going on the river today. We have 3 inbounders, we have 12 in the Astoria and Rice Island anchorages, and we have 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Kembulk Hong Kong. She's a petroleum tanker arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Vancouver, Washington. She will pass Astoria maybe around 8 a.m., and about 6 hours later, she'll be at the port of Vancouver, Washington. The Sea Proteus is arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for the Rice Island anchorage. She'll be there by about 11:30. She is a wheat ship, meaning that she'll go upriver to pick up wheat eventually when a berth opens up for her. The Eastern Asia is arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage. And she is a potash carrier. She'll be arriving, passing Astoria, but arriving in the anchorage, gliding past the downtown waterfront to a stop around 1:30 p.m. Eventually, she'll go up to the Port of Portland to pick up potash. In our Astoria anchorage off the downtown waterfront, we have the Aspasia B. She's headed for Kalama to pick up corn, soy, or wheat at about, she left at about 2 a.m. The Agia Skepi, that's been out there for quite a while, she is now leaving, today at about 1:30 to go up to Longview to pick up wheat. The Lyric Harmony is awaiting orders off the downtown waterfront, along with the Andrea, the Agios Nicholas, the Star Topaz, the Silver Oak, the Madrid Trader, and the Ogna. And in the Rice Island anchorage, a little upriver from Astoria, the Kofco, the SSI Dignity, and the Pan Star are awaiting orders there. And our outbounders, the Nasaka, is leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat on board. They are leaving about 5 a.m., so maybe about 10 a.m. you might see her past Astoria outbound. The Jumeirah Beach is leaving Vancouver. Copper concentrate could be on board there, leaving around 12:30, so maybe around 6:30 past Astoria outbound. The New Aspiration is leaving Vancouver with wheat on board at about 3 p.m. She is a wheat carrier heading out of the Port of Vancouver. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 9 p.m. outbound. The Andromeda Leader is leaving the Port of Portland with Hondas. Could be Hondas on board that ship. And this is an interesting point, that this is a loading cargo here in the U.S. Where is it going? We'll talk about that. It's going to Asia, actually, but we'll talk about what her options are as a foreign flag vessel leaving with the U.S. cargo on board. She's leaving about 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. The GH Northern Dancer is leaving Longview with soda ash on board around 5 p.m. Maybe 8:30 or so, she might pass Astoria outbound. And the Lamisos Napa is leaving Kalama with wheat on board around 11 o'clock this evening, so maybe about 3 a.m. she might pass Astoria outbound. Well, let's talk about the Jones Act. I'm going to read you a little bit from a story that I found on a really interesting website. It's also a magazine called Workboat. It's a maritime industry trade publication. Last week, Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah, introduced the Open America's Water Act of 2019, a bill that would repeal the Jones Act and allow all qualified vessels to engage in domestic trade between U.S. ports. And Senator Lee said this: "Restricting trade between U.S. ports is a huge loss for American consumers and producers. It is long past time to repeal the Jones Act entirely so that Alaskans, Hawaiians, and Puerto Ricans aren't forced to pay higher prices for imported goods, and so they rapidly receive the help they need in the wake of natural disaster," as Lee said in a statement. So this is an argument that comes up periodically. Since 1920, when Congress originally passed the Merchant Marine Act, part of that, one of its provisions, is called the Jones Act, one section of it. So let's talk a little bit about what the Jones Act means. Excuse me. Right now, it means that, and it's currently in force, saying that a ship that loads its cargo in a U.S. port destined for another U.S. port has to be has to have been built in the U.S. and be owned and operated by U.S. citizens and a U.S. company. So this is a law that has existed since 1920. It primarily deals with coastwise trade, and it requires that all goods transported by water between U.S. ports be carried on U.S. flagships constructed in the U.S., owned by U.S. citizens, and crewed by U.S. citizens and U.S. permanent residents. So what does that mean for us here on the river? It means that that ship that is loading Hondas in Portland, if it is loaded, sometimes we do have ships loading Fords, rather, in Portland. Those are U.S. cars constructed here. The cargo enters the ship in Portland. Can you take it to San Francisco on that ship? No, you can't, because it is a foreign flag vessel. You can take it to Asia. You can take it to another country. But if in order to comply with the Jones Act, a cargo that, say, is loaded in one U.S. port, if it's going to another U.S. port, it has to be on a U.S. flag vessel that complies with those other things that I mentioned. So other Jones Act vessels that we see coming into the river here, Crowley Maritime vessels, those ATBs, you load cargo in, say, Port Angeles, and you bring it down to the Columbia River, usually refined petroleum. Those vessels that go from Washington to Oregon, go out in the ocean, they are looking at them from the outside. They may look just like any other ship, but because of the way they are transporting their cargo between U.S. ports, where the cargo originates in a U.S. port and is destined for a U.S. port, that's Jones Act stuff. So most of the ships that come in here are delivering cargo from other countries. They are allowed to be foreign flag vessels, and most of the ships that come into the Columbia River are foreign flag with foreign crews. So why would you have a law like this? Well, here's why they want to keep this law and why it was, these are some arguments in favor of it. Supporters of the Jones Act maintain that the legislation is of strategic, economic, and wartime interest to the United States. They say it protects the nation's sea lift capability and its ability to produce commercial ships. So it means that there will always be a U.S.-based, U.S.-owned merchant fleet. And if the Jones Act were to go away, it would be cheaper. But it would mean that pretty much all the vessels that are operating in U.S. waters would be from other countries, even those that were delivering local, domestic, coastwise cargoes. So people who want to get rid of it say it would save a lot of money. It would make certain things happen faster. They also say that the military, the U.S. military, is actually exempt from the Jones Act. The only time the military used a Jones Act ship in an overseas operation was during Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2003. So that there are certain not every U.S. vessel has to use these. So at any rate, the Jones Act, kind of complicated, but it does come up every now and then. Interesting that the proposal here comes from a landlocked state, Utah. But occasionally somebody complains about it. A legislator proposes that it be repealed, but so far it has been maintained as a law that protects that coastwise trade. You've been listening to The Ship Report, show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.